This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Systems in play to get medical aid to the earthquake zone. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're monitoring the aftermath of the terrible earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria earlier this week. At this point, authorities are saying more than 11,000 people have died, making it the deadliest earthquake anywhere in the world in more than a decade. And then there's the widespread destruction of homes. One U.S.-based nonprofit that's working its contacts to get the right kind of medical aid into the right hands for distribution is AmeriCares, based in Connecticut. I spoke to Dr. Julie Varghese. She's Senior Vice President of Programs and Chief Medical Officer at AmeriCares. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Your organization, AmeriCares, doesn't just send aid hoping it might be useful. What information are you now getting on what's needed most immediately in the earthquake zone?
We are very fortunate that we've been working in the region for over a decade and have longstanding partnerships with several organizations on the ground. So our information is coming directly from partners in terms of what they're seeing, what they're identifying as needs, and specific medications and medical supplies that they're identifying as most critical.
I mean, I'm imagining antibiotics, bandages, what kind of stuff?
Yeah, so certainly trauma-related supplies, given the number of crush injuries and other sorts of surgical needs, infectious disease products, hygiene kits, antibiotics. We're also hearing needs around chronic disease medications. Certainly that will be an ongoing need in the weeks and months ahead as well.
Chronic disease medications, like if a person has diabetes, for example, and may no longer have access to their medicine.
Exactly. People fled their homes quickly. There's extensive damage and collapsed buildings. People may not have their stock of medications, and so they will potentially experience exacerbations and need those chronic disease medications quickly.
And for people just getting acquainted with your organization, AmeriCares, where do you get the stuff that you send into the zone?
That's a great question. We are fortunate to partner with over 200 pharmaceutical companies that provide us with those critically needed products, particularly in times of disaster. We conduct outreach specifically to those partners in terms of critically needed medicines and medical supplies.
I mean, that's the trick in this kind of emergency market that you've set up, right? In other words, you figure out what is necessary, you find out what you could get, and serve really as a conduit between the producers of medical aid and the people who need it.
Yeah, absolutely. We do feel that it's an important role that we are playing between the pharmaceutical partners and then being able to get aid into the countries. I would also add that we are going to be deploying a team to also be on the ground working with our local partners and really understanding firsthand what those additional needs are, both for medicines, medical supplies, and other broader health needs.
Dr. Julie Varghese is Senior Vice President of Programs and Chief Medical Officer at AmeriCares, which is a disaster relief charitable nonprofit. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
AmeriCares doesn't just get donations from pharmaceutical companies. It's among the many organizations that have set up systems to take charitable donations from individuals to help people in the earthquake zone. AmeriCares.org is their main page. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell yesterday said a strong labor market or higher inflation could mean interest rates need to rise more than the consensus now. That seems like sobering news considering last week's blockbuster jobs report, and yet stocks went up after he spoke. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
This was the first time we've heard from Jerome Powell since we got that surprisingly strong jobs report last week. It showed a gain of 500,000 jobs, suggesting perhaps that the Fed has still more rate hikes to go before the labor market cools and with it inflation, or so the theory goes. So what did Powell say? Well, much of the same things we've heard after the last rate hike.
We have a significant road ahead to get inflation down to 2%.
And
it will take some time and we'll have to do more rate increases and then we'll have to look around and see whether we've done enough.
For markets, apparently no news was good news. Stocks went up after Powell's comments, more for what he didn't say. Powell didn't take a more aggressive stance on interest rate hikes because of the jobs report, but did warn, again, that market expectations of how long the inflation fight will be are likely optimistic. It seems, though, that many investors here and abroad heard what they wanted to hear. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Yesterday, the chair of the Federal Reserve had that speech.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A year ago, we were doing all the stories about businesses with too much unsold stuff as consumers slowed spending. But by December, inventories got down to pre-pandemic levels, according to something called the Logistics Managers Index. Well, now January, inventories are going up again, something actually seen as healthy. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
A big problem with supply chains during the pandemic was that things were stagnant. Ports were backed up. Inventory wasn't moving. But recently, that's been changing.
And while the flow of inventory and goods is not completely back to normal, it's much better than it was a year ago or 2 years ago.
That's Dale Rogers at Arizona State University, who helps put together the Logistics Managers Index. He also says transportation costs have been falling more slowly, which indicates that demand for transportation is picking up.
If you're looking for hopeful signs in the economy, I think we are seeing those.
That's because busier supply chains are a sign that businesses are trying to meet robust consumer demand, says Weston Labar with the freight broker Cargomatic.
Consumer spending continues to remain pretty solid. They may be buying different things. They may be buying it in different ways, but they're still buying.
And that's a sign the economy is looking less like it did during the pandemic and more like it did in 2019. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.